Mona was just a flat-out whore.
Baller Lifestyle Podcast from the ballerlifestyle.com. It's me, Brian Beckner, host of the show. As always, I let you know, hey, reach out. Some people reached out this week. They did so via email. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address for the program. You can also leave us a voicemail. Be good at it. 949-464-TBLS. I implore you. I teased you last week with the dig post that I was going to share on our Facebook page about the World Series of Vaping, and it was glorious. And if you're not following us on Facebook, you're missing it. So check out the Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook, like that page, and get the content that we share there that we may or may not discuss on the show. As always, I implore you to like the show on iTunes, subscribe to the show on iTunes, rate the show there, and of course, become a patron via our Patreon page, where you can pledge a dollar amount that you can share with us every month. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It should be a lot, but it doesn't have to be a lot. So think about doing that. The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Patreon.com. Joining me now, as always, Hoboken's own Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Good. I first want to apologize for, I got a lot of feedback. People really felt like this was turning into a political show.
Oh no, we don't talk politics.
I hate debating politics, and the only thing I hate more is hearing people debate politics.
Right.
I was only pointing out the Bernie supporters got mad, but you know, that's all right. That's all right. You yelled at me, so you kind of proved my point, but I don't want to get into politics. The one thing I do want to get into about politics is I was watching one of these like shows. I was in the airport and there was a show like CNN, one of these shows that they're just filling time, and they were showing like highlights of Donald Trump. And there was one speech where he goes, "I just want to point out I am really rich." And then this crowd of like morons just started cheering. Why would you cheer for someone else being rich? But anyway,
he's got money.
That's the end of politics. But I wanted to talk about, it's nice being a pioneer when you're like, some sort of human rights, some sort of pioneer where it really matters. Well, this weekend, I was a pioneer on a Ferris wheel, and it went horribly awry.
What do you mean? You were the first person to ride a Ferris wheel?
Well, it was in the same city where the first Ferris wheel ever happened, but I went with the family to Chicago this weekend.
Great town.
And fantastic town. Every time I'm there, I'm reminded how great it is.
Right. It's fantastic.
And even with I'm usually there with my buddies, but it's still great. Like, it's just a good town. Good places to eat. You can still,
Everything. Good people. And like you, I always go there in the summer. So I think it's just like, I'm like, best place ever. But then I'm never there when it's like below zero.
I prefer it then too.
I know. That's true. That's more your style. You should go there February.
Hot. It was like Vietnam there this weekend, but it was still great. But there was a new, one of these huge Ferris wheels where you get like scenery of the city, and it was near our hotel, and the kids, like, they're advertising the shit out of it, and the kids are like, "Oh, can we go on the Ferris wheel?" And it's like, sure. And what's the opening date? May 27th, the day we just got there. And I was like,
holy shit.
Okay, we go on, and it's like these pods. And so it's four of us and then four random, like, I don't know, early 20-somethings.
I was going to say Chinese tourists.
No, they were like, Middle Eastern, early 20s from like Michigan. They were perfectly nice. Okay. We get up there and it's like not planned, but we're watching the sunset over the city. It's, gorgeous. It's beautiful. And then I was like, wow, we've really gotten plenty of time to take in this sunset. And then, wait a second, we haven't been moving for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and you get over the PA. Yeah, we're having some technical difficulties. Stand by. And they didn't figure out like how the PA system. So if you press, if you're in an emergency, so everybody starts freaking out and pressing the buttons like to talk, and everyone can hear every complaint. And people are freaking out. And we were up there an hour, and you see a storm rolling in over Lake Michigan, and my kids are freaking out because they're hearing people freak out, and it's getting dicey.
Oh, those thunderstorms come up quick.
Yeah, and so after an hour, we got out of there, but it was it's just, I mean, Ferris wheels aren't that fun, but you're doing it with your kid, and you figure it's over soon enough. Taking all the scenery. Yeah, don't go on the first day. It's not something. No. You just want them to work it all out.
I found that in my old age, I've become tremendously sensitive to like things that make you nauseous. So I'm okay on a Ferris wheel, although I'm terrified of heights. I can still do Ferris wheels, no problem.
I'm the same way. Like when I was a kid, I liked the scary rides. Same. And stuff, but like, it's not that I'm scared as much as I feel sick when I do these like whipping around things and up and down. Like I feel ill.
Turns your stomach. Anything that like jerks around or spins, or I just can't. I've gotten old. I just cannot do that shit. It makes me feel unwell.
And although I have a fear of heights, like I'm okay if I'm in one of these like big pod things. Like it's all right. I can deal with it. Like I'm not all petrified. But when you're up there an hour, you start thinking like, oh geez, I did see the footage of a crane, like people helping someone off of roller coaster. Like I saw that and I was like, oh, I don't want to have to like climb on a crane. Like this is not good.
Yeah. Or if some fireman comes up and he's like, okay, let's just climb down the 600-foot ladder together. Yeah, I'd be like, no, I'm just going to die here. No, I'm just going to die in the Ferris wheel.
No, you figure out how to make this engine go, because I'm just not getting out of this pod. But yeah, you start having those thoughts after 45, 50 minutes. And then like soon as we got out, then it started raining sideways. And so we had to like take shelter in a men's room for another half hour. It was a rough time.
Tough weekend.
Yeah.
Well, that's outstanding. Book recommendation. I'm reading Dave Hill's new book. Dave Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Yeah, I think it's called.
He's a funny dude.
It's just such a delight. He's one of these people. If you don't know who he is, you probably all do. I mean, I feel stupid like trying to explain something that everybody knows. But if you don't, Dave Hill's a writer, comedian, humorist, musician, and
isn't he part of the group that does the theme for John Oliver?
Yeah, that's his band does the theme song for the John Oliver show. He's been on there. He's big on Twitter. He just delights me in everything he does. Every time I see one of his tweets, I laugh. I follow him on Facebook. He cracks me up. I read his first book. It was very funny. I'm just about to finish his second book now. It's essays. It's a very easy, light read. I read it on the plane this weekend. And I can't recommend it enough. It's called Dave Hill Doesn't Live Here Anymore, and you should all go out and buy it and read it because he's a delightful writer.
I will definitely check that out because he is a funny dude.
Yeah, it's all about him leaving Cleveland or realizing that he's become, you know, that he's sort of too old to go home. It's very good. Also, we don't usually talk that much sports on this show, but I was at a bar the other night. And I was having dinner and I looked up and I'm like, oh, the Oklahoma City Thunder is about to end this series in game six. They have like a 5-point lead with 4 minutes to go. They're probably going to wrap this up. That didn't happen. Klay Thompson shot him out of existence 2 games in a row.
Yeah, I am a Knicks fan and that's it when it comes to the NBA.
Right.
I did catch a little bit of this, and to me, the thing is these guys are too good at shooting now.
It's insane.
It's kind of weird to watch. Like, every shot goes in, and I understand the greatness, but I actually don't prefer it like this. They're too good. Like, I don't know. They should, like, maybe move the 3-point line out like another 8 feet. Like something's off.
They make those at 50% too.
I know. It's too many baskets.
They could put a 5-point line at half court and these guys would be making 5-pointers all day. It's fucking ridiculous. So yeah, that's the extent of my sport. I watched like 5 minutes of a game.
Yeah. I watched 5 minutes of last night's game and it was just like, you know, two guys on each side touched the ball and they all made their shots.
Yeah. It just doesn't matter if somebody's guarding them. They just throw it up over them and it goes in most of the time. Yeah. It's amazing. Okay. Emails. Guys, who is the athlete who had his or her prime prior to the dawn of social media that you would love to have followed on Instagram? Mike Tyson, right? Love you guys and fancy. That's from Chris. I feel like Mike Tyson wouldn't be able to work Instagram or wouldn't have the inclination.
Yeah, I assume he's talking back in the day. Like, no, right. There's no way. And, you're thinking, if he's showing hot pictures of Robin Givens naked or he's Instagramming as he beats up Mitch Blood Green at 3 a.m. But like,
he's driving down the Eastern Seaboard and he gets tired of shifting his Ferrari, so he pulls in the Rolls Royce dealership and buys one of those. I just feel like he wouldn't like that's great, and I know that's the kind of stuff he did, but I don't feel like he would take a picture.
But athletes are terrible. Like they either like I did follow J.R. Smith for a little while because I heard he was just posting pictures of chicks he was nailing and stuff, and like it was random and funny for like a week, and then the NBA shut it down and they just started posting pictures of his kids. It's like, fuck that. Oh my God. I want no part of that.
No.
And like athletes, they're good at sports, and like maybe a couple of them are funny, but like overall social media with athletes is really terrible.
I know. I'm trying to think, like maybe like Willie Stargell
and the Pirates
in the 70s, right. Like if they were taking pictures of all the cocaine and stuff.
That probably is it, because they wouldn't be as filtered because they'd be just marching on clown powder. Right. But I was thinking maybe Joe Namath or Walt Clyde Frazier from like the early 70s NYC Coxman thing.
Oh, yeah.
But tearing it up. But the reality is like, even Babe Ruth would be posting pictures of his food.
Probably.
Right? Look at this big steak I ate. Like,
yeah, he'd be eating like a 72-ounce porterhouse on a train.
And the today equivalent is just J.J. Watt, like, showing pictures of weights. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Agreed. Like, great. This is
flipping the tire, doing work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not real big into athlete Twitter, but maybe there's somebody out there that we're not thinking of that would be good.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Brian and Ed, just wanted to get your thoughts on a Code Brown scenario. We talked about this last week as there was an unfortunate Code Brown. You need to drive somewhere that's an hour away from home. How far into the trip can one backtrack to their house? What's the point of no return? Thanks. That's from Dean. That's a good question, Dean. I'll let you answer first, Ed.
It depends on where you live. As a general rule, I would say first 10 minutes, you go back.
That's where I'm at.
And then in like the middle 45, you just got to find a spot to
totally
like find a fast food place or a rest stop or something, because it's just not going to work. And then if you're in the last like 10 minutes, then you just hold, you know, you white knuckle it get there. But
I agree.
It depends on where you live. Like for me, if I drive out of Hoboken, the first part of my journey is like fighting a ton of traffic, of tunnel traffic, getting into the city. So I can't go back. Like once I've gotten past a certain point, I can't go back.
Yeah.
But I don't drive that much. So I would say as a general rule, first 10 minutes you turn back.
I would agree. 10 minutes. And you know, you hit a certain age, you don't want to turn around. So if there's any, if you're like, oh my God, I got to go, there's usually an option where you can go. Unless like you're saying, you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, listen to your body.
Speaking of somebody that was stuck, there was a Mexican soccer player kidnapped this weekend, and I saw the headline and I'm like, oh, that guy's dead.
Yeah.
So he's dead. He's dead, right, Ed?
Right. He's beheaded. Actually, so on Saturday night, armed men took Mexican soccer player Alan Pulido outside a restaurant in his hometown, Ciudad Victoria. And on Monday, the police received a call from Pulido. According to Pulido, the player punched one of the kidnappers, took his gun, shot another kidnapper, then escaped through a window before calling the police. Police are just claiming it as a straight-up rescue.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, who are we supposed to believe here? A soccer player who claims he turned into James Bond? or the Mexican police, who are best known for getting clowned by drug cartels on a regular basis?
It's a tough one. I mean, have the Mexican police rescued anyone? Like, if you need to get rescued in Mexico, you need a mercenary. You need to call. If a bad guy gets you in Mexico, the only way you don't show up headless is if you get another bad guy to come in and save you.
Like Denzel and that was it, Man on Fire?
Yes, I didn't see that.
Like that, but I think it was Mexico. Yeah. Like, he just starts killing cartel guys.
Right. That's
kidnappers.
Yes, that's how you do it. You need like the Sicario guy to come in and just fucking kill the people that have you.
But like, or else everyone be dead.
I did see though that the soccer guy, he did have a bandage on his hand. So maybe he did sustain an injury, or he's really gone to lengths to protect himself. Although I will say this, I think I believe the soccer guy.
I kind of believe him. Because why isn't he already dead?
Right. He would have been dead. And what's in it for him to go like, oh, I rescued myself? Whereas the police, they're getting clowned on the regs. And they're not going to be like, oh, no, this guy didn't save himself. We saved his ass. Because they have to save somebody at some point. They can't have some wussy soccer player beating ass and shooting guys to get out of captivity. They need to save somebody just to save face.
You would think at this point, there would have to be some sort of good news coming out of the Mexican police. Like, even a stopwatch is right twice a day.
That's right.
Like, they've got to come through once.
Yes, that's true. Eventually they're going to rescue somebody, but I just don't think it was this time.
But the bigger question is probably why go to Mexico at this point?
It's true.
There are other nice places. And I know you went there somewhat recently.
Yeah, it was,
but it's like just like, there's so many nice places.
There's lots of nice places.
Mexico, Jesus, it just doesn't seem like a good place. Like, you don't go to Papua New Guinea because they still haven't totally kicked the cannibal thing, right?
That's right. It
could be super beautiful there, but like, you would be like, nah, I don't think so. But yet people still take their lives into their own hands by going to Mexico.
There's other places in that, speaking of that Dave Hill book, he's got a nice essay about going down to a very lawless place in Mexico and playing guitar inside a Mexican prison controlled by the cartels.
It doesn't seem like a comforting situation.
Dave Hill's a single guy. Like, he's got no kids. He can afford to be adventurous. You know, guys like you and I, we got too much to live for.
We got kids riding on us.
Yes. Speaking of guys that have a lot to live for, Ed, and speaking of a scene that I would like to know more about, what is going on in the world of Minnesota high school wrestling?
No, it's college.
Oh, Minnesota college wrestling, even better.
I think it's the Golden Gophers.
They have a wrestling team? They probably have a good one. All the good ones are in the Midwest.
I was thinking about this. We've done a lot of Golden Gopher stories.
Yeah.
But I think it mostly has to do with Patino's son being the coach of their basketball team.
Right. Well, didn't their athletic
and their
director,
AD? Yeah, it was real creepy.
Yeah, he creeped like, on some chicks. Yeah.
I know they had like a cool football coach, but beyond that, it seems like a lawless program. But anyway.
Yeah.
This past spring, Minnesota Golden Gopher wrestling coach Jay Robinson, and his actual first name is the letter J.
That's crazy. That's crazy to me.
He discovered that some of his wrestlers were dealing Xanax.
Yeah.
Four members of the team were selling 2,500 pills at $8 a piece. Now, for teammates, the price was lowered to 5 bones a pill. Anyway, the coach caught wind of it. He called a team meeting and addressed the issue. He said he'd give them an amnesty in exchange for the pills and a written one-page essay about their feelings and what they've learned. And the pills were either dumped out or handed in, like half and half. But still, someone felt the need to call the police. And the coach tipped off the wrestlers to lawyer up. Now people are wondering if Robinson could be in trouble. Now, Brian, considering they're offering their teammates pills at nearly half price, shouldn't Robinson be applauded for promoting such camaraderie?
I mean, this wrestling coach, having his name be a letter aside, forgetting right. that for a moment, which is hard to do. This guy seems pretty chill. Like, hey, I catches these guys, you know, they're slanging some pills
he's
around.
He's a 30-year wrestling coach too, yeah. so he's not a young dude.
No, he's an
like,
older
he's
guy.
Probably like 60 years old or something. Like, good for him.
And he knows these guys are young guys. They're doing something stupid or smart, depending on how you look at it. And they got their whole lives ahead of them. And he's caught them. He's going to nip this in the bud. He's going to have them write a very heartfelt essay.
And for wrestlers, a one-page essay is tough punishment.
That's more homework than they're probably going to have to do all season. And these guys, you know, these aren't the brightest of dudes. Their ears are all smashed up. They're rolling yeah. around with dudes all the time. They're always trying to make weight.
Yeah, they're wearing garbage bags.
Yeah, they're running. They run around.
Sweatsuits in the summer.
Yes.
It's a weird life.
Garbage bags, like a lot. You know, they all think they're probably going to the UFC. And it's like these are 20-year-old guys. Like, they're not super intelligent. And they just need a little push. And going to prison is probably not the best thing for them. So this coach intervened. Hey, he took the drugs away. Yeah, they were giving their teammates a smoking deal, but he did the right thing. He reprimanded the boys. He made them write a very heartfelt essay, and he took away their drugs. Like, that's the exact right punishment, in my opinion.
I mean, the war on drugs, we've learned it doesn't work.
No.
So, seems like this guy's figured out his own solution.
I agree. Like, Jay Robinson. I'm not going to go so far as to call him a hero.
That's true.
But
it's true.
His
name is still just Jay.
He made the best of a bad situation. And
the guy's name is Jay. He's been a wrestling coach for 30 years.
Yeah.
His brain, I'm surprised he's even taken on the task of, there's no way he was planning on reading those one pages.
I mean,
right?
The smell of those mats alone could probably, he's probably got some level of brain damage from that for sure.
Yeah, I used to, I didn't play a winter sport, and so the football coach would make sure that we lift weights in the winter if you weren't playing
right.
you weren't playing hoops or whatever. And the weight room was right by the wrestling, yeah. and it just smelled so terrible.
Yeah.
Because they're all sweating. They're all trying to make weight. So it was always very smelly near the wrestlers.
Always trying to get down and weight, riding the bike with those baggies on. It did not look very fun. They, you know,
no.
you could see why they might want to relax a bit, with some pills, some benzos.
Yeah, they were tough. I mean, the wrestlers, I respect it. They were tough motherfuckers, like, let them have some Xanax.
Yeah, especially.
They need fun.
Yeah, they probably got a big match against Iowa or Penn State, which that's like the powerhouse programs out there.
True, and I'd rather the guys won 3 national championships.
Just Jay Robinson?
Yeah.
Oh, he can write his own ticket then.
Exactly. The guy's from Minnesota. Yeah. He's won 3 national titles. Good for him.
It's a small town thing, you know? Shouldn't even have made the papers.
Yeah.
If it were the football coach, we wouldn't even have heard about it.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed. You know, these days, the business landscape is just so freaking competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the hardest things to do is attract top talent. Mm-hmm. You might think you got a high-level guy, and you might think you're grooming him for maybe a seat in the boardroom someday, and then before you know it, here comes Apple.
Right, there's always
Facebook,
someone else.
Google, trying to snatch up your people. So you always have to be looking to find new ways to bring in stars. And more importantly, you have to do it early.
Right. Get into the ground floor.
Bring them in. You know, it's like, I remember in college, you'd walk around and there was always like Enterprise Rent-A-Car was always trying to recruit people. Hey,
You
make you a manager right away, running your own franchise, Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Come work for us. You're going to move up quick.
And here's the thing about that. I do wonder. They were everywhere on my campus too. And I don't want to disparage anyone who might be working for them.
Sure.
But sitting behind the counter, are they talking about like working for the marketing department or like just sitting behind the counter and giving keys?
You know what? I think they burn through a lot of people because the rental car game seems that the profit margins seem to be really dictated by getting you to buy that insurance.
Yeah, but why would you need to go to 4 years of college?
I agree.
Or even 2 years of college. So you can hand somebody keys and sell them insurance.
They want a college graduate, and they really want you to buy that insurance. And the thing is,
they do.
You don't need that insurance, and they know you don't need it. And
your credit card offers some insurance. There's a lot of
The car insurance on your car at home covers you and your rental car, plus whatever credit card you're using has insurance for that fucking thing. So unless you're going to really just go out and destroy,
demolition derby.
Yes, unless you're going to go jackass and destroy the car on purpose.
That was a pretty good jackass when really he returned good.
Yes, that was very good. $9 a day for the extra insurance. So you don't need that insurance. So I feel like they need somebody with some level of expertise to come in and really work people. Because you go in and they like basically break out the actuary tables. Like they really try to hard close you on that insurance. And I feel like you just couldn't get somebody off the street to do that. You need a level of intelligence to do that. But also probably burn through them pretty quick. Mm. You know, you knock on some people's doors trying to deal them that insurance and they say no. You get burned out on it pretty quick. So you need new people. You need to keep bringing them in. Well, Ed. It's not, mm-hmm. There's a similar situation happened recently to the Enterprise Rent-A-Car situation at Maselli's Corner, which isn't a rental car franchise, but sort of in that vein, it's a strip club in Harrison, Michigan. And they recently laid down the gauntlet in the Midwestern skin dancer game by hanging a message from their marquee that said, quote, "Now hiring, class of 2016. And
I like it.
Yeah, this just may come as a shock to you, but apparently the local Michiganders don't appreciate the type of outside-the-box thinking that puts a place like Maselli's on the map. judging by the quotes from the local spinsters who, full up on outrage, lack the assets required to get the gig being advertised in the first place. Listen to a couple of these, Ed. Quote, "Children fresh out of high school shouldn't be taking their clothes off for money," said outraged Harrison resident Lisa Dickerson. "I think it's sickening." Here's another one. Quote, "They're good people," said another, Lisa Mulholland. "But I
who's good people?
Still don't think it's right." Well, she apparently knows the Maselli's.
Oh.
From the story, Maselli's Corner released a statement Thursday saying, in no way were they trying to offend anybody. The sign was simply a joke. And then they did that wink. They winked a couple times real hard, and then they jammed their elbow into whoever they were talking to. And if apparently this has been good for them on Facebook, people are really blowing them up. They've gone viral, some for, some against. But Ed, there's two questions I want to ask you. First. Okay. Is the central Michigan area pretty well known for having lots of dumb people named Lisa? And two, could Mr. Maselli have avoided all of this controversy and still quadrupled his business by just putting his own daughter Samantha on the pole?
Yeah, buddy. Put down that vacuum, Maselli. Start pimping out your dog.
Now, he was a ball player that became a maid or something. That was
clearly didn't manage his finances.
That was a very like long-reaching premise. That was a long way to go.
Right. There's a lot going on.
Also, why was the grandmother?
Mona was just a flat-out whore. Well,
why was the grandmother so horny all the time? That was very disturbing to me.
Very Randy. And Jonathan... I like when he came out like 10 years after the show ended. I was like, no, it's okay.
We knew.
We got it.
We knew, buddy.
We knew, and nobody was watching the show for Jonathan. You were the B storyline at best.
Oh, yes. Danny Pintaro. Yes.
But, we're talking Michigan. I mean, what was the other big story in Michigan? That they couldn't have clean drinking water.
Yeah, that's right.
The years before, it was like, the average price of a car is more than a home in Detroit.
Yes.
So like they're providing commerce.
Right.
They're giving jobs to graduates. If you're working at the strip club, you need the money.
Yeah.
And the other thing is strippers age like dogs.
It's true. It's a short window.
An 18 and a half year old, like they're already feeling like 22. But by the time they're 20, they're looking like they're 29.
Yeah, it's true.
And when they're 25, they look 40.
It's like, so it's like that girl
you gotta stay young.
Yeah, it's like that girl you see in the porno, and you're like, oh, this chick's pretty cute, and then you see her like 6 months later, and she's not the same person. You're like, what the fuck happened to that? Yeah, chick?
Move her over to the grandma porn section.
Yes, exactly. Get rid of the pigtails. Give her some glasses. Now she's a MILF.
The MILF porn. They're like 27.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and these strippers, you gotta start scouting talent young. Like that's what sells. And
that's the game.
Yeah, there's probably like Maselli's. They probably have competition. There's probably some other roadhouse where chicks take their tops off on some highway in central Michigan. And they're probably reaching out to these young girls too.
I don't remember a lot of uproar in Austria in the late 18th century when all the composers were like 12 years old.
That's right. That's
right. I mean, everyone we learned about as a kid, they came from Austria and they were like 12.
That Mozart started when he was like 4. Like
Beethoven. They're all young.
Yes. Put them to work.
Yeah. Come on. This is Jennifer Capriati who was playing tennis at 13, the Williams sisters.
13.
What's
it up.
Wrong with Maselli's girls?
Martina. The Dodgers drafted Adrian Beltre when he was 16. That's how you get off the island. Field and ground balls.
That's right.
Hit your
Giving
way.
Give them a chance in Michigan. That's the one state that should not be choosy about where the jobs are being provided.
Agreed. And also, I mean, beggars can't be choosers. Like, I can only imagine. One time, I was at a strip club in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
The Alaskan Bush Company. Get it?
That's some name. Yeah. That's some moniker.
It was like a pun. Like you're out in the Alaskan bush, but also like the broads took it all off. You know,
that's the full contact karate.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a full new joint. And there's this overly skinny chick up on the stage. And she was, this place also had what you call, and I never partook in this, obviously, but this place also had like, Alaskan Bush Company had what's called the Bush Dive. And that's where you would go up and you would lean, not me, but people would go up there, dudes, unsavory dudes. They would go up to the stage and they would lay back with their head on the stage and with the dollar bill would be in their mouth. And the girl
would, that's a bachelor party move.
Yeah. And the girl would come up and she'd writhe around that dollar with her pussy right up by their face. And then she'd come down with her tits and squeeze their face and pull the dollar out of their mouth with her tits. It was a move, but I digress. One time I was there and this woman was up there dancing. She was very skinny. She was unfortunately skinny. And she also had a lot of tattoos. And she was not what I would call beautiful.
Like skinny, like the girl who OD'd in Boogie Nights.
Yes. Yes,
like,
exactly.
That gross kind of.
Overly skinny, like needed a sandwich. Like you would look at her and go, that chick needs a sandwich. Also, she was a little long in the tooth. I'm not sure, but I think she might have had a couple rugrats hanging out in the corner as well. She got up there and she danced around. She danced for a whole song and Ed. Not one person put a dollar on the stage. No one went up for a bush dive. No one flipped a quarter up there. And it wasn't like Saturday night. This was definitely the B team. And, you know, the crowd was there to see the B team. And she had, I think I might have witnessed her last day as a stripper, her last moment as a stripper, because she got up and she scolded everyone. Like she had an actual meltdown right there on stage about the lack of bush dives. Come on, guys, I'm up here working. Like the whole thing, it was very unfortunate. The point is you need top talent. You got to try to, if you want guys to come in and buy beers, you got to attract some high level talent, or else, you know, you have a discerning audience these days, is my point.
That's a good point. That's a good way to wrap this up.
Real quick, Ed.
Yeah.
How fucking old is this guy? Catherine Helmond, Mona.
Well, the boss. She was the Randy.
Randy grandmother.
That show was probably like, that might have been a 30 years ago. Was it about 86?
Yes.
I'd say about that.
Yeah, I believe it ran. Hold on. I just saw it. I skipped ahead. Hold on. I'll tell you right now. That show ran. Whoa. I didn't realize it went this long. started in 1984, ran until 1992.
But that power alley for boys of our age.
Yeah, it was with the 85, 86, absolutely.
Yeah, it was when the change was happening.
That's true. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
there was more at play when you're 10, yeah. 11, 12 years yeah. old and you're starting to see somebody blossom.
Oh yeah, and she was blossoming. That was
so was Jonathan, by the way.
Yeah, in a different way. Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm going to say, let's just go 30 years ago.
Yeah.
She was 65. Yeah. She's 95 years old.
Pretty close. Pretty okay. close. Actually, she's born 1929. So in that, right in that wheelhouse of 85, she would have been 55, 56 years old, a full 10 years younger. Oh. Than you're picturing.
I was gonna say she looked good for 65.
Yeah, she did. She would. No. She looked a little old for mid 50s, I would say.
Yeah, I'd like to think I'm not looking like that age group in 15 years.
No, I agree. Also, Judith Light. How old do you think she? How fucking old is this guy? Angela from Who's the Boss?
Yeah, she sucked. She was an extension of Jonathan, yeah. or vice versa.
Yeah,
they were terrible.
I never got the sexual chemistry because I was not feeling Judith Light in any way, shape, or
she
form.
She gave off no vibe whatsoever.
No
none.
Way, none.
She was 40. I would say she was 42. She's 72 years old.
She's 1949, so she would have been in her middle 30s.
Well, at that depending time. On what month, but yeah. she's 67.
67 years old. Oh, she could lie. She's Ed. Fun fact. She's from New Jersey, Trenton, the capital city.
Trenton makes the world takes. Yeah. They got a big sign when you drive by.
Sweet. Yes, Judith, another New Jerseyan. Okay. What else is going
we
on?
Like, yeah, well, we like taking a look, taking a deep dive into the United States of America.
That's true.
And
an Alaskan bush dive, if you will.
Well, one website, what they dug into, there's a way, people know how to get all this analytics from Google.
I know.
I really don't know how they do it.
It's big, you know, it's big business, and they say that data is the new internet. Like the internet was the thing of the last 20 years and now it's data, whatever that means. Ed, I'm just trying to sound smart here. Data.
Yes.
Data
sounds
is
like
the
that of my comprehension.
Data is
I'm
the
just
thing
gonna stick with the internet.
Data is the thing of the next 20 years. If okay. if you hear that,
you're
remember that
about,
I said it first.
You're not talking about the gadget kid from Goonies, right?
No,
you're
definitely not. Actual,
no. No, okay. All right. So speaking of Alaska, like I'll give you, so they looked into each state's favorite Google question. I'll give you Alaska.
Okay.
Pretty obvious. How do you smoke salmon?
Oh, I was going to say, what is it okay to fuck a bear? Okay.
Yeah. My guess would have been, you know, saw a black guy today. Yeah. Is that Trajan Langdon or Carlos Boozer?
Cause who do I call?
Those are the only black guys. California's pretty obvious. Is Bernie Sanders vegan? These are
That's
unique
not
to the state. No, it's absolutely okay. True. And Florida, it's obvious. Why does everyone hate Florida?
That is pretty good. I thought okay. It would be like, what kind of exotic reptiles are okay to own? But I guess you wouldn't have to Google that because it's all of them.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I'm going to give you the question and then multiple choice for the state.
Okay. I like these.
All right. Question number one. What is the clap? A, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. B, Florida. C, West Virginia. D, Ohio.
Oh, I was hoping Maryland would be there because we've learned that Baltimore and New Orleans pretty much lead the world in or lead the United States in sexually transmitted diseases. So give me the choices again. Texas, Florida.
Tennessee, Florida, West Virginia, Ohio.
I'm going to go with these people are very backward. They cannot be very many computers there, but there's plenty of STDs. I'm going to say West Virginia.
Nope. It would be the volunteer state.
Tennessee. Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
You'd have to pick somewhere where the clap still exists. And while Ohio, like Southern Ohio, is still basically the South, and we've determined here that Ohio is pretty much Midwestern Florida.
Yeah, they're just breeding serial killers.
I feel like there's enough penicillin in the state of Ohio that they've eradicated the clap.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Tennessee has some good cities there.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's go to question two. Is Ted Cruz the Zodiac Killer?
Oh, yes. The answer is yes.
A, New York. B, North Dakota. C, Kansas. D, Idaho.
Interesting. New York. Oh, that is tough. I'm going to say the Big Apple, New York, is the state that Google's Ted Cruz's, is Ted Cruz the Zodiac Killer?
Yeah, the New Yorkers hate Ted Cruz for his New York values thing.
Yeah.
But it's actually Idaho.
Idaho, really? I figured they'd be
apparently
big.
It took time from, it seems like it, but I guess they were a little concerned because their potential candidate might be the Zodiac
Killer. I feel like if Ted Cruz were going to win a state in the primary, it would be either Arizona or Idaho.
Right. I guess it's because there are New Yorkers as terrible as many of them are. Many of them are very in touch with the times. And Ted Cruz, once we found out his age, he couldn't possibly be the Zodiac Killer unless he was like skipping out on like fourth grade, third grade to kill people.
Well, I still have a little PTSD over discovering that Ted Cruz is 45 years old.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's still so shocking to me. I thought he was like 65 years old. Like he's of my generation. It's just crazy to me. 45. Yeah.
Right, like, can you think of, like, somebody you went to high school with that could be Ted Cruz?
No!
Like he seems so much older.
He's so much older! Like, it's just so shocking. I feel like I've read it wrong. Being in denial. I just can't accept it.
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
Also, the Zodiac Killer, I first learned of the Zodiac Killer on the Leonard Nimoy narrated television show In Search Of in the late 70s and early 80s. And I was,
yeah, those shows used to spook
they're
me.
They're very fucking scary. And I learned of the Zodiac Killer and I was very fucking, because, you know, they didn't catch the guy. And I was very, very, very scared of the Zodiac Killer, probably until the Night Stalker started terrorizing and like gouging out people's eyes like blocks away from where I lived. So that then he
got pushed down.
Yeah, the Zodiac Killer was replaced. But that reminds me, the David Fincher movie Zodiac with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Super creepy.
It's very creepy, but it's a great movie, and I recommend it.
Fincher's awesome.
Oh, he's great.
Number three, when is WrestleMania?
Oh my
God. A, Alabama, B, Louisiana, C, Mississippi, D, Kentucky.
Oh, but all those places, this is very hard because I would assume all those people would know this already.
Or E, all of the above.
Yes. I'll say Kentucky.
It's Louisiana.
Wow.
Question four.
Okay.
Is funner a word?
Oh, that's great.
A, Wisconsin.
Oh my God.
B, Minnesota. C, North Dakota. D, South Dakota.
I like also that that in every state of the union, people do their Google searches as a question, which I've never done once. You just type
when I'm trying to find out a spelling, like, or if you would just type in funner and it would be like, well,
if you want to know funner was a word, you just type in funner. Like, it knows. It doesn't need. It's not Ask Jeeves.
Right.
The great search engine of the 1990s.
And Jeeves didn't know shit.
Yeah, Jeeves sucked. Then we had Yahoo.
Ask Jeeves if you don't want the right answer.
Yeah, you never got anything out of Jeeves. Now we got Google. You just type in funner, guys. You know, okay, what are my choices in states?
Wisconsin, Minnesota, North or South Dakota?
Oh, Wisconsin, Minnesota. You made this hard because Wisconsin and Minnesota, we know both, that's two very fucked up accents there. And they both seem like the types that would say funner.
Funner.
I would say because.
Oh, what about Fargo? That accent.
That's true. It's all got to say. I'm going to say Wisconsin. They're the funner people.
Minnesota. It was probably those guys trying to think of words for their paper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right? They're trying to figure out how to say, Well, we were selling Xanax because we wanted to make it more funner.
Right. Yes. Yeah. They wanted, they were on Xanax. They were marketing their Xanax and they're like, hey, Xanax is much more funner than Vicodin.
Okay. Last question. Okay. How to make a baby? A, Kentucky. B, Mississippi. C, West Virginia. D, Ohio.
Oh my God, Ed. I'm going to go back to the well, and this has to be a backwards place. It's either West Virginia or Kentucky. I'm going to say Kentucky.
Boom, you got it.
Oh, nice. One for six.
But you should look. It was the AV Club. They did it, and if you drill down, like you can see the top 10 questions. I mean, there are some amazing ones. Like, why is Maine asking, is Bernie Sanders Jewish?
I mean, he's like very clearly and like Jewish.
Kentucky's asking, who is Siri?
Right, that's crazy.
Like, Kansas is asking, what is Syria? It's not where is Syria. What is
Syria? Maybe they think it's like an
it's
illness.
A planet.
What is Syria? Who's typing these as questions?
Kansas's top two questions are, what is Syria and how to make meth?
Shut up. Again, how to make meth. I feel like you have a cousin that can tell you that. I feel like you're in a place where a lot of meth is made. I don't feel like you need to Google it. Also, every time you Google something, everybody that gets like Casey Anthony, she was Googling like how to get rid of a body or something. Like,
Right. The crimes, they can do totally. Yes, and
you can't.
If you're in Florida, it doesn't matter that you've already given the prosecution the entire case.
Well, it doesn't matter. It is so if you're gonna Google how to make meth, there's a good chance that you're gonna make some meth, and then they're gonna bust you, and then they're gonna look at your computer and see that you've Googled how to make meth. If you're planning on doing a crime, don't Google how to do the crime. That just shows you shouldn't be doing the crime.
I was just looking at Mississippi. There's a major. They've got a bunch. Yes. Am I pregnant?
Yes. Am I pregnant?
Is Obama the Antichrist?
Yes. Answer yes.
These two are great because it just shows Mississippi is just not like a lot of the country.
No.
This question is, who is Prince and who is Harriet Tubman? Like,
that's great.
No clue.
That's great.
Like, it came up with, you know, like that they announced the $20 bill and people are like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, I should find out who that is. Underground Railroad. I should know. When, before I get a $20 bill, I should know. Like they know, like they have any idea who's currently on the $20 bill.
They also asked, are mermaids real? Yes.
Well, we're
mostly landlocked. Mississippi. I mean, there are no mermaids on the Mississippi River.
Well, we did that story.
The Delta.
We did that story. Remember there's that defensive end on the LA Rams that doesn't think that dinosaurs are real, but he does believe mermaids are real.
Yeah, well, that's a reasonable assumption.
All right. Well, that's an excellent quiz.
Right. Well, good job, America.
Yes, outstanding. A lot of hope for the future. It's time. It's time to get into the pop culture segment of the show.
The heavy lifting.
This is where we really get the real news of the day from our very own pop culture correspondent, Fancy Sauce. She joins us now. The segment is Fancy Pop. How you doing, Fancy Sauce?
Well, hello.
Hey, Kate.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, wait, hold on. Somebody's reached out.
Oh.
This is from Ish.
Okay.
Also, we got an email from Ish. Somebody wanted to know if Ish was short for Ishmael, and it isn't.
Oh, yeah. Isn't?
Yeah, I didn't feel like reading the rest of what he wrote in that one.
Toe Cutter asked that one.
Yeah, Toe Cutter wanted to know if Ish is short for Ishmael, and it isn't. So I don't, but he didn't, it's a nickname, but he didn't get into it.
Okay.
But he's got this. Hey there, here's a fuck, marry, kill for Kate. You familiar with this game, Kate?
Yeah.
I read you three names. And you have to select one of these people to have sex with, one to marry, and the other one to kill. Are you ready?
God.
Jared Leto, Johnny Depp, Shia LaBeouf. Because you want to kill all three, obviously. Oh, that's the point of this game.
Very difficult.
Yes.
I mean, the biggest thing is, you gotta marry one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, the fucking, like, you could get around to that one.
Stomach the sex.
But, like, just spending your life with someone. Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. This would be tough. Now, I'm not trying to sway you here, but
it's really hard because I'm not attracted to any of them.
But
okay.
Jared Leto is supposedly
I don't need you to say that.
He's weird looking, but he's good looking, right?
Like, do this without.
Oh, okay.
Like, this is for me.
No, he's very good looking, but he's also hung.
But now people are going to think that.
Okay.
Like, I'm choosing it because of what you just said.
No, I just wanted you to have all the details.
I'm detailed up.
I don't know how Depp and LaBeouf are hung.
I think I would take one for the team and I would fuck Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Just so to let you guys know.
But no. Oh my goodness, you're about to marry one of those two.
But not. But not because he's hung like
that. I'm going to put Shia LaBeouf out of his misery.
Yeah, kill him.
And
guy wants to die.
I'm gonna marry Johnny Depp, and I'm gonna give him a makeover, and I'm gonna reimagine, restyle,
also,
and repurpose
him. He's very rich. Johnny Depp is extremely
also
wealthy.
As we're about to find out in my roundup, he is about to be single again.
For the record, you would F Jared Leto.
Yes.
Would marry Johnny Depp, and you would kill Shia LaBeouf.
I think so.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is really
tough.
That's what I would have picked, though. If this were my F, marry, kill, I would have done the same. I'll put it out to you, Ed. F, marry, kill.
I will always marry Johnny Depp, but maybe I'd sex Shia and kill Jared.
Well, you can't switch it now. You've already chosen.
But I'm just saying.
Okay.
That would be choice B.
Ed Daly. Fuck, marry, kill. Jared Leto, Johnny Depp, Shia LaBeouf.
Well, Jared Leto's good looking. But doesn't he sleep in a coffin? Didn't you do a story about that?
He's like, very weird.
Something like that. Like, I can't deal with that one.
Yeah.
So he would be the fuck.
Yeah.
In terms of killing, I mean, Christ. Can you imagine being married to Johnny Depp and like having to get going in a hurry and he's got to put on like 30 rings and 90. Yeah.
I feel like he never takes that stuff off though.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Showers, sleeps with it all on.
That's
it's
a good
like,
point.
You know.
But even just picking out a hat could take hours. You wear so many hats. Could take weeks.
Yeah, I would kill Johnny Depp, fuck Jared Leto, and marry Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, then you got to go with Shia LaBeouf while he rides an elevator in the Empire State Building for 6 weeks.
But you don't have to be. That's right. That you would have a lot of time to yourself because he'd be riding an elevator.
Maybe.
Or watching a marathon of his own movies.
Or working out in his jeans.
Johnny Depp at least seems like a decent guy.
I would fuck Jared Leto because I want to see that hog. He is supposedly hung like a beast.
Can we not talk about which guys that you two would sex?
I would fuck Jared Leto.
And I'm not afraid to say I would definitely have sex with Jared Leto.
Me too. I would marry Johnny Depp because he's so fucking rich. Like I could be
true. Shia LaBeouf, he might not have any left.
He owns an island in the Bahamas.
Just this, Shia LaBeouf got in a car accident a while back. He was driving an F-150. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm telling you, you know.
It's not Hollywood money.
No, Johnny Depp's probably got a Tesla.
Okay. He's probably got an island full of cars.
Yeah, he does. He's got an island. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What's happening in fantasy?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks to our newest Patreon subscriber.
Oh, yes,
Patreon. Corey Worrell.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
If you've been
considering, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the name.
Corey Worrell.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or is it Worrell?
Thanks, bro.
I'm not sure how you
say
it.
Worrell.
Sorry, Corey, if I butchered your name.
Yeah, Corey's a cool dude. He's a buddy of mine.
You are a cool dude. If you've been considering subscribing to Patreon and contributing, though, for the content we give you for free every week, but you haven't yet, what are you waiting for? Also, it can literally be $1 a month. Just saying.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it can't. It shouldn't be, but it
I
could
mean,
be.
I mean, that's an option.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, if that's all you
be.
Can spare, that's all. You
that's
can
a quarter a show.
I'm not mad at that.
You could do a quarter a show.
Yeah.
I like that. That the people that are contributing are people we know. I think that's really cool.
It is really cool.
But there's a lot of people that listen to the show that we don't know.
We would like to know you.
We would like to get to know you through your contributions.
Yeah.
And your emails. Okay, Kate. What else?
All right. So. This is kind of a bummer, this story. Mark Salling, a.k.a. Puck from Glee. You guys are both probably familiar with the show Glee.
Huge Glee fan.
Has officially been indicted on child...
I just have it on a continuous loop in my house, that show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
has officially been indicted on child pornography charges. A federal grand jury indicted him on 2 counts of child porn.
So gross.
Last December, the actor's laptop was seized when authorities found thousands of images and videos depicting child porn. Following Glee alum Mark Salling's indictment, the actor has been cut from the upcoming miniseries he was starring in, Gods and Secrets.
I feel like he's going to be cut from Hollywood.
An ex-girlfriend of Salling's tipped off cops, and they investigated before the raid to make sure it wasn't a revenge allegation. Law enforcement sources now tell us they've already seen more than 1,000 images on his computer.
Oh, yeah, that guy's going to prison.
Yeah. Sad story.
Yeah, he's probably not. He's not going to be part of Hollywood's plans.
I don't know who that guy is, but I'll tell you this. 1 year after the...
He's a young guy. He's probably like early 20s.
1 year the Super Bowl ended, and the Super Bowl was on Fox.
Uh-huh.
And I was just kind of drunk on my couch sitting there by myself. And the Super Bowl turned into an episode of Glee. And
I think I remember that.
It was... I'm like, oh, this is that Glee thing people are talking about. And I watched a few minutes of it, and I have to be honest, it was really terrible. Like, especially bad. Much, much worse than I pictured.
I gotta be honest, I didn't realize it's been on the air in like the last 5 years.
I think it might be over now.
I thought it was over.
But I think it only ended recently, like a year or two ago.
Okay. I don't know, I never watched it. Yeah. Okay, this next story is also kind of a bummer. And bear
really
with
bringing
me because
down
there are a lot of details
that
I need to get
through. Okay, let's get through the details.
Okay, Amber Heard has filed for divorce from Johnny Depp after about 15 months of marriage last Monday, citing irreconcilable differences.
So he's on the market.
Then later that week, Heard showed up in court with a bruise on her face, claiming Johnny Depp physically assaulted her and that she's the victim of repeated domestic violence. And the judge issued a restraining order requiring Johnny to stay 100 yards away from her.
Oh, my God. I'm sure that's not a problem.
The judge also gave Amber the right to live in the family home, but rejected a request to protect at least one of their dogs from Johnny.
The family home? That's his house.
And, like, he kicks a dog or something.
The family home.
Amber asked for a $50,000 a month in spousal support, but the judge rejected that request.
He can afford it.
The judge also declined to order Johnny into anger management.
Small price to pay.
So there's a picture circulating online showing Amber with a bruise around her eye, which she says Depp inflicted Saturday night. She claims he smashed his iPhone on her face.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, at least he doesn't have an Android.
So it's always disturbing to see a photograph where it looks like somebody has been the victim of domestic abuse.
Agreed.
And I think the internet reacted strongly to this.
Yes.
And everyone's you know what? If that's true, fuck that guy.
Sure.
If it's true.
But there's two sides to every story.
There was always two sides. And I'm usually on the side of the victim, but the plot thickens.
Right.
So Amber claims during the alleged attack, Johnny shattered various objects in the apartment. She says she was on the phone with a friend during the fight. And when Johnny grabbed her phone, she screamed to her friend, "Call the cops." So the friend called 911. That's how the cops arrived at the residence.
Yes.
Amber says when cops arrived, Johnny had already fled, so they took a report from her. Apparently, the cops told Amber they would find Johnny and arrest him if she gave a statement about the alleged violence, but for some reason, she refused.
Oh, no.
Muddled.
Did he try to escape on a penny farthing?
Yeah. You know,
he was on a unicycle.
Yes. I'd like to make a statement.
And he had coattails and a top hat.
Johnny Depp joins us now.
Oh. You know, I believe some of this misunderstanding is the public's mistrust in me began in '05 when I was selected as People's Most Beautiful Man Alive.
Mm. Sexiest man alive, yeah.
I argued I'm no man but merely a vessel for old pirates and from the early 18th century to channel themselves.
Yeah.
And it was not my fault when you're wearing as many rings as I do. It's like holding a roll of quarters. My fists are very strong and they have a lot of momentum.
Brass knuckles.
Johnny, did Amber's hair get caught in your rings? And is that how you pulled her hair, allegedly?
Well, it was a moment of frustration because I was pouring my absinthe and slicing some pecorino cheese and one of my scarves got wrapped around the knife, and my elbow swung around and hit an iPhone. And I'm not familiar with this modern technology at this point because my old friend Pierre from the Burgundy region of France told me that a man without technology is a man who's enlightened.
Interesting. Wow.
You're so wise.
Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp, like, obviously, I'm only rooting for the truth in this situation.
Yeah, and me too. I mean, that's hopefully will come out.
And I will say,
did you read the Doug Stanhope thing?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I got a few, the plot thickens a little bit.
Right.
Okay, so Depp and his people are calling BS because first Amber never filed a police report, and apparently she posted Instagram pics after the alleged beating and never showed any injury. Then we have apparently Amber screamed to Johnny in the middle of their argument last week, "Stop hitting me."
Oh.
Problem is, when she screamed, Johnny was more than 6 yards away. So claimed two witnesses. Apparently there was two security guards who Amber knew were standing in the entryway outside the apartment, giving them space during their argument. When out of nowhere, they heard her scream. Within a second, they bolted into the living room and saw Johnny in the kitchen and Amber on the couch in the living room. So it's an open floor plan. Both security guards say Johnny was at least 20 feet away from her and the scream was a badly executed attempt at setup. Okay. So, you know, maybe they are protecting him or maybe they like him better or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're just saying what they saw.
I used to pull that same move when I was wailing on my brother when he was a little kid.
So both these guards are expected to testify next month during their restraining order trial. They also say throughout Johnny and Amber's 15-month marriage, she was the one who flew into rages, screaming at him, throwing bottles and charging him.
I mean, that seems more
And they
believable.
Claim they frequently had to pull her off him.
He doesn't seem very rage prone.
Well, we don't know, but yeah. I mean, so Amber claims...
We don't know, but yeah. It's the fact that everybody has hated all his movies
and
he's a pompous asshole has made it so everyone has just jumped on him. Like,
yeah.
He's a fucking douche, but who knows? Who knows what's going on? Like,
seems like a bit of a pussy. Like,
she's really young, right?
Yeah, she's 30.
Like, here's the main problem.
Oh, I thought she was even younger, yeah. But
the main problem is she claims her alleged injuries were caused when he threw an iPhone at her.
Uh-huh.
But apparently, the responding cops say that she had no visible injuries. She also claims there was broken glass on the floor because he went berserk. But the security guards insist there was no broken glass. And the cops, when they arrived, say nothing was...
So nobody's corroborating
amiss,
her story.
Right?
Also, she didn't file a police report, which is telling to me because filing a false police report is a crime.
So, but she's since filed one.
Oh, she has.
Since she lawyered up.
Oh, interesting.
Then, this weekend, comedian Doug Stanhope, who's allegedly a close friend of Johnny's and who is also known to like to party.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Wrote a column this weekend claiming that Amber is actually trying to blackmail Johnny, saying that Heard was threatening to lie about him publicly in any and every possible duplicitous way if he didn't agree to her terms.
Yes, I saw that.
So, I mean, this is a...
It's a he said, she said.
Yeah, it's a complicated situation. Yeah. Both of Depp's exes have come to his defense, saying that he's not a violent man and support his version of events, not Heard's. So that's where we are.
Yeah, I don't want to take a side, but I'm sort of leaning towards Team Johnny in this one. Ed Daly?
Well, I'm not going to pick a side because the important thing is that whoever in Hollywood greenlit another one of these Alice in Wonderland movies.
Is that
should
true?
Have their head examined.
I saw a commercial for that, and I just assumed that was the first one that hadn't come out yet.
No, they've made another one.
They've made two of
those? Yeah, there's another one, and it's the same, like, Tim Burton.
Oh,
like, let's
Sasha
like,
Baron
you know,
Cohen
Tim Burton, fine when he was making Pee-wee's Big Adventure and, like, the first
Batman
but,
1.
Like, his movies are just intentionally creepy and weird
did you
now.
See that,
like it's,
did you see that Planet of the Apes with Marky Mark?
Was that Tim Burton?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Terrible.
I saw one recently that was okay.
I think it was.
Here's my opinion.
Yes.
Before any of this went down, I thought she seemed like a crazy bitch.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes.
I don't have an opinion as to what happened, except that I just, she, something about her. Doesn't mean that she's not telling the truth.
Right.
I was reminded that he was with Winona Ryder in her prime.
Oh, and he destroyed a hotel room.
I mean, that's a tough one to come down from.
Yeah. Yeah. Kate Moss, and that's another good score.
Oof, I didn't know Kate Moss,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Johnny Depp clearly likes to party and go on benders.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And we were the first to break the news, and he might be having a hard time coming to terms with this.
My thing is,
Johnny Depp has lost his looks.
Well, mom died.
He looks terrible.
The other week.
Right. And
here's the thing. What she wants him to agree to her terms.
Yeah.
What could her terms possibly be after being married for 15 months?
Yeah, she's not do much. So she would have to up something embarrassing on him to get him to agree to pay her because they were only married for a short time.
Right. And that may or may not be what's going on right now.
Is that all, Kate?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent job. As always, Ed Daly, fine job. As always.
Great job, all of us.
Okay. Until next week.
Yeah.
For Ed Daly, for Kate McManus, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 122 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.